Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel. We're live on the air and here to address your question or discuss your real-life issue by phone at 1-800-677-9377. If there's something you'd like to talk about, perhaps a Bible verse that you'd like to get a discussion about, well, give us a call right now, 1-800-677-9377. The Word of God reveals true freedom and life in Jesus Christ, and this is your invitation to call and take part. Basic Gospel. It intersects with your life every day. Hear it, believe it, live it. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Jesus Christ is alive. That is the basic gospel. That is the good news that touches everyone's hearts who hears that and responds to it. And the fact that Jesus is alive means that those who respond to that good news, this resurrected Jesus comes to live inside of them. And this resurrected Jesus begins to do things inside of us, to transform us, to change us into his image. And it's a wonderful thing. And one of the things that we've been talking about as far as what Christ does is he works in our hearts to participate in the grace of giving and actually moves us to excel in that grace of giving. We've been talking about that last week. Today's our last day to talk about grace and money. Tomorrow we start a brand new topic. We're going to talk about the resurrection. We're going to talk about the evidence for the resurrection. We're going to talk about some of the practical implications of the resurrection in our lives. But one of the things is this idea of giving, the grace of giving. The resurrected Christ works this in our lives. And this is what it means for people who receive, who benefit. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, starting in verse 12, Paul wrote this, "This service that you perform," and the service that he is talking about is this grace of giving. "This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of God's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God." I think that's an incredible statement right there. The very fact that our gifts can stir people to give thanks to God is huge. That's a monumental thing. That's not something that we see out there in the world. It's only something that God produces inside of us and those who respond to it. He says, "Because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, men will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ." This Christian life isn't just words. It's not just stuff that we say. It's action that we take to benefit others. "And for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift."
Yeah.
This is a pretty impressive statement about the grace of giving. It generates thanksgiving in the hearts of others. It causes them to pray for you and to say thanks and to say thanks be to God for this surpassing grace that he has given to you. It's amazing stuff. And so if you're a believer in Christ, God's Spirit is going to be working in you to move you to give of your resources. And those gifts will bring about praise and thanksgiving to God. Talk about fulfilling a purpose. About living out what God has put you on this planet to do. Being engaged in the grace of giving is one of those ways that we can do it. And talk about reward and fulfillment and satisfaction. When you give with a smile on your face, joy in your heart. That's the reward of being involved in this grace of giving.
Yes, indeed. And, of course, this is Basic Gospel, and we'd love to hear from you. We'd love for you to give us a call and join the conversation. 1-800-677-9377, a toll-free call in the U.S. and in Canada. 1-800-677-9377. Give us a call. And, Bob, do you want to go to the phones? Well, I think we missed our chance. I think Mia hung up.
Well, we were going to go to Mia. She had a question about the movie Noah, and I know there's lots of discussion about that movie going on right now. There are Christians that are for it. There are Christians that are against it. Some are saying, you know, it doesn't follow the biblical account, and I think that's probably true. I haven't seen the movie.
But Richard loves the special effects.
Yeah, so
I haven't seen it.
But I know you're anticipating it.
Yeah, that's right. So I can't really talk about that from that perspective. But here's what I'll say about the movie Noah. Certainly it is a conversation piece.
Yeah.
There's going to be believers, there's going to be non-believers that go to see that. It can be a source of conversation to move people to the real issue of the gospel, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ Jesus. So I think as believers, we use that. We engage in the conversation. We don't shy away from it. We engage. We jump in with both feet and say, no, it doesn't necessarily follow the biblical record. They've taken some license, but that's what Hollywood does.
Sure.
Why should we expect anything different?
Yeah.
But they are bringing up some significant points. Where is God in life? Mm-hmm. Can we know him? Can we turn to him? Can we count on him? Can we trust in him? And maybe this movie can help bring up those types of conversations with people that we want to share Christ with.
Yeah.
So don't necessarily shy away from it. It's something that's out there. Hollywood has produced it. People are going to go see it. Use it as a conversation starter in hopes of moving that conversation toward the real issue of Christ's death, burial, and resurrection.
Yeah, well, we appreciate the fact that Mia called and introduced the particular subject, and we hope that this has been a help to you. Those of you who have not seen the movie, well, we don't recommend it. We don't not recommend it, but
yeah,
it's there, and it, as Bob said, it's a great conversation piece.
But I would like to recommend a movie.
Okay.
God's Not Dead.
Yeah.
It came out last week. My wife and I saw it this weekend. It's an amazing film. I encourage you, I mean, it's a story about a kid who has to deal with the fact that he doesn't believe what a professor believes, and so he has to defend his beliefs in class. And there's other side stories going on. But how they approach it, and the fact that not all the good guys are Christians, some of the bad guys are Christians, call themselves Christians. Not all of the non-Christians are bad guys. Some of them are good guys. It gives you a better realistic view of what's going on in the defense of your faith. And one of the most powerful pieces of it is clear at the end, when they're running the credits, there's a list of things. And I'm not going to tell you what that list is, but I encourage you, if you go, stay through the credits and read that list of things, because this is real stuff. There are people in schools every day right now who are facing these kind of challenges. And it's a fascinating film.
Yeah.
Very well done.
And I think we as believers need to be able to give
yes.
a defense for the hope that lies within. That's certainly what Peter was encouraging mm-hmm. us to do. And I don't think very many of us spend enough time trying to ask why we believe what we believe. I think many people simply believe what they believe because that's the denominational
yes.
stance. This is what our church believes. This is what my pastor believes. But what about you? Do you genuinely believe this? And that's what we're going to be talking about next month as we get into this issue
yeah.
of resurrection. That is one of the sticking points of Christianity. The critics really nab that and say, how can you genuinely believe that someone was raised back to life? How can you genuinely believe that? And the fact that all of Christianity hinges on that makes me skeptical. That's what the critics are saying. So how do we defend that? How do we give an answer that is compelling, that will encourage people to take note and to investigate it on their own? That's what we really want people to do. We don't want people to take our words and simply believe because we've said it's true. We want to encourage people to investigate on their own and come to these truths as they open up their hearts and minds to what the Word of God has to say and the teaching ministry of God's Spirit in their lives.
Yeah.
So I know we're going to have a fascinating month
yes.
as we talk about resurrection. And speaking of that, program alert, Wednesday, we have a special guest joining us. His name is Lee Strobel. Maybe you've read some of his books. He was one of those skeptics. Mm-hmm. He didn't believe Christianity, and resurrection was one of the sticking points. And he has a fabulous story to tell. His testimony is quite moving, stirring. His wife came to know the Lord, And what he saw in her launched him into a personal investigation of the claims of Christ, the claims of Christianity. It led him to a point when the evidence was overwhelming. All he could do was get on his knees and receive the living Christ. But he, like I said, I love the way his mind works. I love how he spent the time, invested the time in getting his questions answered. And once they were answered in a reasonable, logical way, then his mind was fully engaged in what the Bible was communicating, and he could give his heart to the Lord. So I know you're going to be very encouraged by Lee Strobel. Again, that's on Wednesday's broadcast. Tell your friends. Once it's done and we send that out via email or it's up on the archives, this will be a broadcast that you'll want to share with others.
Absolutely. Yes. That's Wednesday on Basic Gospel. Right now on Basic Gospel, we have open lines at 1-800-677-9377. If you want to talk about this issue that we've been discussing all month, the issue of grace and money, this will be the last day, as Bob said, that we'll be discussing that. We'll be looking at the resurrection come tomorrow. But today is the last day, of course, of our matching gift challenge. We want to talk about that. But before we do, let me get the phone lines one more time, 1-800-677-9377, a toll-free call, and we await your calls, 1-800-677-9377. Come on, be a part of this one and join the conversation. Matching gift challenge ends at midnight tonight, and we are looking so much forward to having many more of our listeners and our supporters to stand with us in this challenge.
Yes, indeed. I think we have some new numbers that have come in, and we're very close.
I can't tell you exactly because certain things have to wait to clear and all that sort of thing. But right now it looks like we're between 22 and 23,000 having come in. There were many, many gifts over the weekend, and we thank you sincerely. So we're almost there, between $2,000 and $3,000. And that means we will have raised $50,000 instead of $25,000.
Yes, indeed. So let's go ahead and meet that match. Let's match it. Let's get to the $25,000 mark. It just takes a few. I mean, that's 100 people giving $20, right?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, something like that. So we're not asking for a lot of people to do a whole bunch. Or it could be one person that stands up and says, I'm going to give $2,000.
Yeah.
And that will put us over that $25,000 mark. So we encourage you to step up to the plate, make a contribution today. You can do it in a couple of ways. You can go to basicgospel.net, just click the matching gift link right on the homepage, and then follow the instructions. Everything is very simple. It's very easy, very clear. So that's the first way you can do it. Or you can call Billy and talk to her. She loves talking to our listeners. You will love talking with her. She is awaiting your phone call, and her number is 1-800-727-2828. That's 1-800-727-2828. So get on the phone, call Billy, tell her that you would like to be a part of the matching gift challenge. Give as generously as you can because your gift will be doubled. So you will double the impact of your ministry through Basic Gospel and help connect many more people to the love of Jesus Christ. Or if you want to do it the old-fashioned way, you can actually write a check. Just put matching gift in the memo section of the gift and send it to Basic Gospel at 1225 East Rosemead Parkway. That's Rosemeade Parkway, and that's Carrollton, Texas, 75007. But let's get this thing matched. It's an incredible opportunity. As Paul said, you've been eager to do that. Let's finish doing what we've said we would do.
Yeah.
So let's finish this race. Let's finish it strong. Let's hit that $50,000 mark. And we're trusting the Lord to do so. And hopefully by this time tomorrow, we'll have some very exciting news to share.
Yes, indeed. That will be exciting. Well, right now, again, open lines, 1-800-677-9377. Time on the clock. We want you to be a part of this edition of Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher, Richard Piper. My name is Bob Davis. Thanks for joining us. Please join us by phone, 1-800-677-9377. Well, guys, a question from Mark, who writes to us from Albany, New York, says, could you please elaborate on the words Jesus spoke at the end of his life, my God, why have you forsaken me? Thank you. That's from Mark in Albany, New York.
Those are some pretty powerful words that he said. And they hearken back to a psalm, Psalm 22. That's how that particular psalm started. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? And through the rest of that psalm, the psalmist describes death by crucifixion. And it's prophetic. And so I think Jesus was, one, in saying those words, was pointing people back to the words of the prophets and saying, hey, what they're talking about, I'm fulfilling right in your very sight. The other aspect of it, when Jesus became sin, when he became that sin offering, within his soul, he felt like he had been forsaken by his Father. Mm-hmm. And that's the weight of sin. Sin caused a separation between God and man. And so when Jesus became sin, he felt that exact same way.
Yeah.
But we know God did not forsake him because he raised him back to life. Mm-hmm. There was always this plan, and God never fell away from that plan. His love was there for his son, and just as God loved his son loves us. That's the great news of this gospel. So I think there's a couple of reasons Jesus felt as if his Father had forsaken him. That's what sin does, and to point people back to that psalm to show that he was the fulfillment of that prophecy.
Well, one of the things that happens with that psalm, or the Jesus' statement, is that we get lost in the, why have you forsaken me? And we don't go on. And we look at the next statement he made, and it's the single greatest statement of faith in the Bible. I don't care what I feel like, but Father, here's my spirit. I give it into your hands. And that was the victory right there, the
Absolutely.
Victory of faith.
Absolutely. Even though he felt forsaken, he still
trusted
and entrusted himself to his Father, the one who loved him the most.
Absolutely. Mark, hope you're listening. Hope that's been a help to you. And guys, again, 1-800-677-9377. Lines available, time remaining on the clock. Give us a call. A question from Stephen, who writes to us from Anderson, Redding, California, says, my son and I have been studying through 1 John and is looking especially at 1 John 5:16 about the sentence to death. Says, we know for a Christian it isn't spiritual death because Jesus gave us life through his death, burial, and resurrection. I was hoping you might shed some light, some more light on this particular verse. Thank you, and thanks to KFIA Sacramento for reaching the Redding, California area. That's from Stephen in the Anderson, Redding area.
Well, we are just thrilled to death to be on KFIA and to be in that market. We have such a wonderful audience and listenership out there, and we're grateful that KFIA is partnering with us to get this good news out. So that's a wonderful thing, and we're certainly glad they're reaching Redding, California as well. But John, 1 John 5:16, this is one of those verses that makes us pause, scratch our head, and wonder, what in the world is the apostle talking about? What is this sin unto death? And all throughout, I think, the writings of John in his gospel letter and in his letters, 1 John, 2 John, and 3 John, he speaks of sin in terms of unbelief. He said the Holy Spirit comes to convict the world wrong of sin, righteousness, and judgment concerning sin because they do not believe in Jesus. So sin at the root is unbelief in Jesus Christ. What is the sin that ultimately leads to eternal death? That is the rejection of Christ, somebody staying in that state of unbelief. And I think that's probably what he is talking about here. That's how I see it. I know there are theologians and biblical scholars who talk about a sin that would lead to physical death, but they can't ever say exactly what that is. But we do know about this rejection of Christ. That is the unpardonable sin. That is the sin that leads to eternal death.
Yeah. I like to put this passage together with Galatians 6. You know, if you find someone who is trapped in a sin, you know, come alongside of them and help restore them, but be careful so that you don't fall into it yourself. That's what he's talking about here. That's the sin that does not lead to death is the sin that can beset any one of us. But he's not talking to brothers and sisters about the sin that leads to death. He's talking about, you know, all wrongdoing is sin.
If there's somebody who's unbelieving, that's a completely different conversation. It's a completely different kind of conversation and prayer that you would offer for someone like that.
Yes, indeed.
And another question. This is from David, who writes to us from Phoenix, where you've just visited recently with
some of
our supporters, and understand had a great time. David says, my sister-in-law is struggling with her son who has OCD. He is around 17 years old now and is pulling more and more away from everything. He no longer goes to school. He has no interest in anything. He doesn't have much of an appetite. He's 6'1 and 130 pounds. He is very intelligent, and I believe he needs to be filled with the Spirit of God and know his love for him and what purpose he has for him. What input can we offer David in this situation?
Well, I think she's right on in the fact that he needs the Lord.
Yeah.
I mean, what is the solution to any person's problem? Ultimately, it's Christ. We need Jesus. I think that's the most telling statement about humanity that's ever been made. Humanity needs Jesus. I mean, just look at the world apart from him. It is a mess. It is a crazy, chaotic, confused mess out there, filled with hatred and pride and ego and selfish ambition and backbiting and all of those sorts of things. And somebody can be OCD and as this fellow is, and not be interested in school and not have the attention span that he needs and that sort of thing. But ultimately, you know, you can take him and try to get all that fixed, but that doesn't change his spiritual condition. He truly does need the Lord. And we have some resources and that we could send that could help in at least showing him what the gospel message is. You know, it's one of those things. You can tell somebody about Jesus, but ultimately the saving is the work of Christ himself.
Yes.
So we can give resources, we can help point him in the right direction, but ultimately we have to trust that into the hands of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And leave those results right there. One of the things that you know, somebody that's hyperactive, they, a lot of times they have a self-image problem. You know, they haven't fit the mold. They haven't fit into that cookie-cutter approach that most schools take. And so as a result, they're ostracized. They're looked at as almost a second-class citizen from the administrators and teachers and that sort of thing. May not be intentional, but that's what happens.
Yeah, yeah.
And so a lot of times it's a self-image problem. And again, that's why the gospel message is so vitally important, because the gospel message addresses that. It gives us an identity. It finally tells us who we are. We were sinners, but now through faith in Jesus Christ, we're made alive in him, and we're given a brand new identity. We're new creatures in Christ. We're called children of God. And regardless of what the world says about us, and it's going to say all kinds of different things, we have this one truth that we can stand on that never changes if we're in Christ.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I would encourage them to pray for him and to get resources into his hands that will help open his eyes to the truth of God's love and grace seen in Jesus Christ.
Absolutely. Thanks, Bob. And David, thanks for writing to us about this particular issue. We hope you're listening and hope this has been a help. For all of those of you who can't get to the phone during the time we're actually on the air, you can drop us an email and post your question at basicgospel.net, and we hope you'll do just that. Well, friends, tonight, midnight, that's all the time remaining to join the $25,000 matching gift challenge our board of directors has offered. But if you make your gift today or tonight by midnight, you can double the impact of that gift in any amount to Basic Gospel. And we have just a little bit more to go, and we hope that many of you will step up and make that difference. We hope you'll make your most generous gift today and truly make it count to connect people to the love of Christ. Call 1-800-727-2828 and speak to our operator, Billy. She'll be glad to take your information and help you with your gift. Again, that's 1-800-727-2828, or link online at basicgospel.net to make your gift. A reminder also, we accept donations through PayPal. That's the best way for those of you outside the U.S. to support the ministry. And our sincerest thanks to each of you for giving to the work of God through Basic Gospel. Also, be sure to visit our website for information on Stand 2014, our Bible conference, June 19th through the 21st. All the information available at stand2014.com. Now for Bob Christopher, Richard Pfeiffer, and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to join us again tomorrow for another live edition of Basic Gospel. We'll see you then.